Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. I hope that you don't judge the anointing of this sermon by the sound of my voice, because I feel like I have an assignment and I don't know who it's to. Darren, there's those times when you're preaching and you're really trying to find the spirit in the sermon. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then there's other times when God gives you something to do and you know you don't have to find anything. You just got to do what God asks you to do. And this sermon may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. And if it's for one person in this room, I know we have a church that loves people enough that say, even though that wasn't for me, I'm glad it was for them. Would you agree with that? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. You can be seated. Wisdom is what Solomon asked for. And when God told him that he would do anything for him, he asked for wisdom. And God granted him that wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. I seen a guy the other day, and he said, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. It's a pretty good difference between knowledge and wisdom. The Bible says that God told Solomon, he said, I've given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after you shall any arise like unto thee. And that wisdom did something to Solomon. Took him places. People would come and see what he was doing, check out what Solomon had going on, Solomon being very wise. But wisdom can only take you so far. Can you say amen to that? Wisdom can only take you so far. In the end, he began to summarize his existence, summarize what he had seen. And verse after verse after verse, he came to this conclusion. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. I want to read you a couple of these. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 4. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes 1 and 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Chapter 2, verse 17, listen to this. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Have you ever been in that place where your life is on a wheel, and you say, man, this is so vain, and somebody tries to help you out and you're struggling, maybe you're struggling at work and you're really caught up in what you're doing, and somebody looks at you and makes a statement. Raise your hand if anybody's ever made the, hey, in 100 years, none of this that we're doing is even going to matter. Has anybody ever told you that? Listen, in 100 years, it doesn't even matter what we're doing. And I know that we're all of us are caught up in what we do. And when you weigh it out, I remember one time as a foreman, I've always been pretty motivated. And a guy looked at me one day and he said, hey, buddy, you don't get a prize for running more coal than everybody else. And and layoffs came, and they laid everybody in our department off except for me and one guy. And months later, they started bringing them back. And when they came back, they was all talking about where they were working and what they were doing. And one of them looked at me and said, where'd you go to work at? I said, I didn't leave. And he said, they didn't lay you off? I said, I guess there's a prize for running more coal than everybody else. He didn't like it, but it's okay. But the truth is, sometimes in my job, I feel like a number, knowing that it's all based on market conditions. Amen? Had a guy look at me one day, and he said, they pay me way too much. And I said, it's not about you. It's about the product. Because I promise, when the product drops, so will your pay. And sometimes you look at it and you weigh it out, and you say, really? In 100 years, will it really matter what I do at my job? What do you do, rehabilitate people? And once you rehabilitate them, what happens to them? They get better for a minute. And some of them, not for a long time or never. But when they get better, you know what happens to them? I'm trying to paint a very depressing story to you right now, because this is what Solomon is doing in these verses. You get up, you go to work, you come home. I don't know if you're like me. You hurry home so you can hurry to bed, so you can hurry and get up, so you can hurry to work, so you can hurry home. And we come up with sayings like T-G-I-F, and to some of you, it doesn't even matter because you work on Saturday too. I was like, thank God it's Friday. Well, lucky you. And if you're not careful, this spirit will slip in, because the truth is, it really doesn't matter how much coal I run this week. It does in the moment, but down the road, it's not going to matter. Ecclesiastes, where do we stop at? 2 and 17. Let's go to 2 and 19, because he don't stop. He don't stop. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? That's a good question. I mean, I would think that you would know that, right? Who knows whether they're going to be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored? And wherein shall show myself wise under the sun? This is also what? Vanity. He doesn't stop. 2:22-26. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And if you came here on this Sunday feeling good, I'm sorry. Because I'm not talking to you today. I really feel an assignment to somebody who is struggling with the purpose of life. Because sometimes it does get frustrating. Sometimes it why do I do what I do? Some of us in this room can testify to this. You spend your life raising kids, and people complain about their children in all phases. Terrible twos. How many people know about terrible twos? Raise your hand if you think terrible twos are real. How many think they carry into threes? Oh, more. So it's not really terrible twos. It's terrible, terrible threes. Yeah, and to some of you older people, how many can tell these people terrible threes ain't nothing? Wait till they become teenagers. To you younger parents, I'm sorry to depress you today. To the ones that have moved out and came back. To the ones that you give away and you think you're finished and you're not finished. It's like, wait a minute. There's a lot that goes on in our life. And sometimes you sit down and you go, wow. How many of you people in here can tell me that the golden years aren't really so golden? Raise your hand if you can say amen. Brother Eddie's got his hand down. I appreciate that, man. He's my role model. Gives me something to look forward to. He said the best years of your life is when all the kids move out and the dog dies. Solomon is painting a picture here. And if we just read the book of Ecclesiastes and we just read these sayings from this wise man, then we could come to the conclusion that he is correct. It's in the Bible. Let me tell you something. Solomon was incorrect in some of his assumptions. Can you say amen? If you don't believe it, watch what happens at the end of his life. The last thing we read about this wise man is he is off worshiping false gods and chasing women. And I don't see him in Hebrews chapter 11 at all. Of all the great patriarchs and all the great men in the Old Testament and the great women, I don't find Solomon among them, because in all of that wisdom, he still missed something. He missed something so important, because I talk to wise people and I talk to people with knowledge and I talk to people that are educated. And the truth is, sometimes, no matter how educated you are, life don't make sense. Can I get real with you for just a minute? Small caskets don't make sense to me. That stuff just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense when parents have to bury children. That doesn't make sense to me. It shouldn't be that way. Can you say amen? There's things in this life that does not make sense. And if we're not careful, That secular mentality will sneak in, that we were taught in school that evolution is the way it happened. And inside this skull is nothing more than gray matter. But I'm here to tell you something different today. God has designed a purpose for you, and all is not vanity and vexation of the spirit. There are some things that happen under the sun that don't just have temporary consequences. There are things that happen in this life that will matter more than just 100 years from now, but they will carry throughout all eternity. Can you say amen? I want you to read this scripture with me, Jeremiah 29 and 11. I'm probably going to let you go early today so you can go home and get ready for work tomorrow. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. peace and not of evil, to give you an expected destination, an expected goal, an expected end point. Do we have anybody, any ladies in here expecting right now? Stand up if you are expecting. Aaron, does she look a little different than when you married her? I didn't ask you how she looked. I'm doing a comparison. She's gorgeous. Does she look different than she did at this time last year? Don't look at her. Don't make eye contact because I got some questions. Does she act different right now? What is it? Do you think you act different? Appreciate your honesty. Are there things going on that sometimes in this place you still don't understand?
Yes.
There's something going on in the inside that changes the thing. Now listen real careful. Listen, I've been through this three times. And I can remember walking in the house. You can sit down, Robin. I don't want to. I walked in the house and I looked over and Tracy has tears running down her face. My first thought was, what did I do? But I looked at her and I said, what's wrong? And she said these words, I don't know. I have never cried in my life and not known why. Can some of you men say amen? I have never once cried in my whole life and not knew why I was crying. As a matter of fact, I've done everything I could to stop it and build up resistance to it. Why are you crying? I don't know. Let me tell you this. Even when God is bringing you to an expected end, you are not going to understand it all. And there's going to be times when you're not going to get it all. The key is you got to trust this, that he that hath begun a good work is able to perform what he has started. God put this in you. God started it. And because God started it, he's going to finish it. He is Alpha and he is Omega. Problem is in our life, God don't give us the middle. I wish he would tell me the middle. Amen? I wish that when God would give me directions, they would be clear and precise and God make it loud. But I know this, Josh, he is taking me somewhere. And because God has an expected end for me, that means my life is not vanity and it's not vexation of the spirit. The difference between me and Solomon, or Solomon and I, to talk like he would, the difference between us is this. He lived under a dispensation that I don't live under. He lived under a covenant that I don't live under. He lived under a covenant called the law, and that law had nothing to bring him but death. I live under a different covenant, and because I live under a different covenant, I have a different spirit. And because I have that spirit, there are fruits that come with that spirit, and my life is not vanity and vexation. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All of that works in me by the Spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. Because when you get up and go to work tomorrow, do you know what your caseload is tomorrow? A lot. What body parts are you working? Knees? Got any knees you got to work with? Everything? When you get up and go to work, you can't think like Solomon. and say, this is vanity. This is vexation. I'm going to fix this old lady's knee, and it's only going to break again. I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and you know what happened to Lazarus? He died again. Talking about vanity. You're going to do your work, but the Bible says when you do your work as unto the Lord. Why is this important? Because somebody in this world is looking for hope. And let me tell you something about hope. You can sense hope. Now, y'all didn't shout good enough. I'm going to try over here. You can sense hope. You get around somebody that's got joy and peace and something, you can sense it. Because when you, even if they don't act like they like you, they'll come to you in their time of desperation and they'll ask you to pray for them because they sense something is going on in you. What this world needs is a group of believers that understand that what I do matters. What's going on in my life matters. I'm not doing this for the income. I'm doing this for the outcome. And I know that God's got a purpose in my life. And when we get that purpose, it'll change our drive. It'll change our motivation. It'll change our hunger. It'll change our appetite.
Does your appetite change a lot when you're expecting? Does it? Is it as organic as it is on a normal basis? Are you cheating? Every now and then.
When you're expecting, your appetite changes. When you're expecting, your mood changes. Come on, ladies. Don't act like y'all stone cold killers. I know y'all all over the map. Amen? Yeah, I ain't talking to you guys. Don't y'all get nervous. Man, you can preach on men and women, amen you. You preach on women and them guys are like, they can't see you guys. If you agree with me, just blink twice. That way there, you don't have to, they won't know. Just blink at me. Blink at me. Look at all these guys. Look at them. Look at them. One guy just got slapped and she didn't even see him blinking. She knew he was blinking. When you know and you expect something, it changes. It changes the way you live. Come on, Aaron. I think I'm done. Watch this. Watch this. This is so good. If you won, I'm going to quit picking on you. I'm going to try over here. We had a lamp as an illustration Wednesday night. You remember that lamp? And he said, I wish you would have asked me what it was because it's a Cracker Barrel decoration. Your grandpa, Brother Eddie Tucker, is going to give you $15 million. He's going to give it to you 1 month from now. 1 month, $15 million. Is there anything you need to tell Dustin? If that was true, it's not true, by the way, y'all. Just want to let y'all know it's not true. If that was true, what would your expectation be like over the next month? It's coming. I mean, you done went, woo! What about you? What about you? If you knew that you was going to receive $15 million at the end of this month, how many people would turn their notice in Monday? Look around, look around, look around. How would you walk over the next couple weeks? Yeah. I mean, you'd be strutting. You'd probably walk like so. Now watch this. It hasn't gotten here yet. You hadn't gotten it yet, but would it change your mood? The reason it would change your mood is because you expected it. And let me tell you what expectancy can do. It can change the way you live right now. The problem is you're expecting the wrong thing. You're expecting it to go. He has an expected end. So why aren't you skipping? Why aren't you shouting like that? He's got all things. Look at the person beside you and say, all. All things work together for the good to who? Those that are what? Called according to his purpose. Everything is working out for your good. Expect that. And when you get that expectancy in you, God will honor your expectation. You know what this is called? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand and turn in your notice because you're of the belief, I have to see it first. Yeah, didn't you? You thought, I got to see the check first and then I'll turn my notice in. Once I get the money, because I'm very skeptical. Well, let me tell you something about God. You don't have to be skeptical. It's coming. Your blessing is coming. Your life has purpose, and that purpose is in him. I had a Drew Brees jersey, Pro Bowl jersey. How many people like Drew Brees? How many people don't know who Drew Brees is? I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it went. I thought about it in and I said, who cares? I don't want to wear another man's jersey anyway. Why do I want to celebrate his accomplishments when God has given me my own? It's just my thought process. Why? Y'all been very talkative today. Let me ask you, who do you think has sold more jerseys than anybody else across any sport in the world? Who?
He said Jesus.
Yeah, but who would you say? What was it? Michael Jordan, how many people agree Michael Jordan has sold more jerseys across any platform than any other sport? Raise your hand high. Let me see you. How many people have ever owned a Jordan jersey? Raise your hand. How many people has ever had a pair of Jordans? Back when I was young, Jordan was the man. And this has nothing to do with this sermon, but you LeBron people have no idea what you're talking about. Zero. Man, people come to school. You're close. Yeah, you're close. You're in there, ain't you? People come to school, and they were decked out in it. Jordan hat sideways, 23 jersey, Jordan shoes, Jordan everything. And think about this. They had his name on their shirt. And you know what it did for them? I'm telling you, it ain't the shoes. It didn't make them jump any higher at all. It didn't make them dribble any better at all. But you know what it did do? You know who it did help? It helped him. It didn't help them at all. They wore his name on their back, and it didn't help them at all. But May 13th, 1994, I went to the altar and I picked up a name that I started to wear. And it wasn't my name. And it was the name of another man. But man, when I picked up this name, it changed who I was. It changed who I was. I wasn't just identifying with him. He was identifying with me. I said, you're my father. He said, you're my son. And let me tell you, that changes things. And if I'm going to wear a name, I'm going to wear his name. Because if I wear his name, somebody's going to see a spirit of expectancy on me and say, I want what you got, man. What is that? What is that? What is it? What is it? Simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. Your life matters. Your life matters. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Would you bow your head? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Back to Baptist roots. This is where I like to go. Nobody looking around. Please don't look around. If you've been struggling and you've not had a spirit of expectancy in your life, like you heard preached today, would you slip your hand up? Would you say, there's one, two, thank you, three, four, five, six. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As I sing this song, you can open your eyes, hands up, heads up. Come on, Darren, stand over here. Come on, Dave, come and help me. Come and help me. Come and help me. Come on, Elder Tucker. Come on up here. We need you. Come on, brother. If you slipped your hand up and you said, man, I've been caught in this wheel, but I'm not walking out of here with that thing. That thing, listen, here's what's cool. In the Bible, they would lay hands on people and they'd receive the Spirit. If you believe these guys up here got something in them, it may be worth sharing. They're willing to share what they have, what God's given them. If that's you, would you step up? Would you walk out and say, you know what? I'm not walking out of here with the same spirit that I walked out. I want a different spirit. I want a different outlook. I want a different vision. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not walking out the way I walked in.